Accession number 19794, reel 2.
Now, from Paviak, I'd like you to describe how you left the prison and were sent to Auschwitz. I know you didn't know where you were going, but perhaps you could describe to us your leaving the prison and that journey to the camp.
Eventually, myself and the group of people with whom I became friendly, we were chosen for the transport. From Paviak, the transports went to many camps like Ravensbrück, Oświęcim, or Buchenwald. We were never certain where we are going. That we are going to the camp, we knew for certain, because by that time everybody knew what is installed for them. For many, that was actually a relief, because that meant that they will be no longer taken to the Gestapo quarters, asked questions, beaten and made to suffer. For me, that was really saying goodbye to the city which I learned to love, and totally future which I had absolutely no idea what it will bring. When we arrive, well, the journey itself was quite strange, because we were in the cattle trucks, the doors were shut, we were shunting from station to station, we can hear it all happening, we were stopped, we started again. The whole train journey took the whole day, during which only once the door were open and somebody was asking for water, which we did get an extremely small amount. There was not really room for us to do anything but sit very tightly to each other. And that brought other unpleasant happenings, but this is how it was. We could not help it. Arrival at our destination.
Can I just stop you there?
Yes, sorry.
How much have we got left on the tape?
3 minutes.
Okay, I think we might change the tape actually.
Okay.
We're just going to change it.
Reel 2 continued.
And when... The only time in the prison when we have been together with the Jewish girls, because remember, I'm talking about women prison, it was only on the so-called quarantine, which every one of us had to go, and it took 2 weeks to sit in these cells, almost below the level of the street, and from there people were taken to Gestapo headquarters to be interrogated. And only in that prison cells, in so-called quarantine, we ever met any Jews. They were very often simply taken off the streets. They may have arrived from different town, like this Lottie girl from Krakow did. And she was instantly apprehended and sent to Paviak prison. But before the 2 weeks has gone, she had been called out never to return. In the transport which went to Auschwitz, there was never any Jewish girls among us. We were all Polish political prisoners. The segregation was so thorough at the very beginning that never ever I heard that somebody of the Jewish origin came with the transport to Auschwitz. But during the journey, one thing happened which amused few and in horrible, unpleasant, childish almost way amuses me to this day. Namely, of course we were not given any facilities to make our bodily needs attended to. But some of us, well, just had to. And some of us were carrying our parcels with our extra clothes and things. So we had paper, actually brown paper on us. So we made a little room in one corner, and that brown paper was used for general use. And of course, it became very smelly. And the moment when they opened the door, we made a sort of parcels from that horrible stuff. And as I was nearest to the door, I took a good aim and threw it away from the truck, from the wagon itself. And to my amazement, a German soldier with the bayonet ran after it, took it on his bayonet and held it up. I don't need to tell you what happened to his arm and his clothes. And I think that was one of those happenings which really bring a grin of sort to your face whenever you think about it. We, of course, very, very quickly went away from the station to our relief because we didn't want to be punished for things of that sort. And we arrived in Auschwitz itself. It was dark. The lights were burning. There was noise. There was shouting. The dogs were making an awful lot of noise because they were not really doing a normal doggy noises, but they were growling and screaming in very specific fashion because that was what they were trained for. Attack the people when they are in group and bring as much martyrdom as it was intended. And the SS and Ausierins, as we called them, women in uniforms, were running among us. They were beating everybody, and the fantastic German word schnell, schnell, schnell started to make a life of its own in all our minds. So we were running in direction where we were pushed, not knowing, of course, where we are running. Some of us were older women. They were falling. Oh, it was really mayhem at the very beginning. And I'm certain that was the intention. Eventually, we were herded into what was to be our washing room. It was a huge barrack with the water running, cold water, I must add, from the top. There were men in already prison garb, which we never seen before. We were made to strip. We were made to go in front, each one of us, in front of that man or the other one. They were all standing in the line, and we were shaven. We were shaven, our heads were shaven, our private parts were shaven, and we were pushed then under that water. And after a while, we were pushed out of it into another part of that big block where the huge amount of terribly looking and already smelling terrible clothes were prepared for us. What we actually got was one dress which you had to put over your head. The dress had sleeves, but not long, like three-quartered sleeves. And when we have had this on, we were march again to another part where the girls this time, prisoners obviously, were sitting by the little tables, and that and then where we were getting our numbers tattooed on our arms. It was done with simply biros were not invented then, so it was just implement with which you write letters in those days, and it was put into the ink, and the point was made on your arm till it had the shape of the number. And you had, of course, before give you your name and date of birth, and they had ready papers. They looked at them, and we were that way made numbers in the camp according to the alphabet. That was important for Germans, that we should be in a row with our names, letters of our names as the first step to getting our number. After all this, it was deep into the night, we have been again driven to some few hundred yards or meters away, direction we had no idea where we were going. And the door were open to the barrack, which was made of brick, which had three partitions in them, meaning that the people were lying on the top, like a bunk beds, really. There were already prisoners in it, who were very unhappy that their night rest was interrupted. We didn't really know what to do. So we were pushed here and there, and the people with big sticks took over, but they were in the prison garb already, so we understood that they are fellow prisoners, given extra powers over us. So eventually we were simply fallen down where we were standing almost, and this is how the first day ended.
Were you able to stay with some of the girls that you'd met in prison when you were in Auschwitz? Did that form a little group in Auschwitz?
Yes, because as we came together, we were herded into that barrack together. So this is how we stayed together. Different story starts when we were, after a month, were allocated to different commandos which were working outside. But at the first months, we were in this quarantine block, we were told, together. And of course there were other nationalities. It was not a Polish bloc by any means. There were already other nationalities. In March and April and even May 43, the Greek Jews had arrived at the camp. So of course some of them were sent with the numbers on into the camp to be still used as the working force. Some were already gassed, as we later, of course, known. There were some Slovaks, Jewish girls, there were some Czech, and so it was a very mixed company. The misfortune of the Greek girls were that they did not know any other language that may be Jewish or Greek, and none of them, as I can remember, knew any German, which made their life a double misery, because you had to understand what the shouting was all about, and the shouting went on only in German. I remember the Greek girls who were at that time still quite beautiful, because they were just fresh arrivals, and I remember how they were singing beautiful songs, and I have a very bad musical memory. I'm not blessed with musical talents, but I can still remember that song which they were singing, and we were very happily going around where they were their banks were, and listening to them. They didn't last long. Not only the lack of food and hard work, but the climate took their toll, and they perished extremely, extremely quickly. I learned few Greek phrases like klepsi klepsi Saloniki, because they came from Saloniki, and klepsi, I understand, means stealing. So they were stealing what they could, poor things, and we were calling them klepsi klepsi Saloniki.
What commando were you assigned to after the quarantine period?
Now, the quarantine itself was a nasty piece of work, because we were not left alone. We were made to do, and that comes to every nation, not only us Polish girls, but to every nation. We were made to carry heavy stones from one end of the camp to another, totally useless occupation, but it all was to do to break our spirits and break us physically, I'm sure, as well. But then, when we started to be taken out to the Auslander, as it was called, commandos which were working outside the camp itself, there was never a one specific one. Capo of the commando could come to the block when the apple was on, and choose herself the stronger looking girls, and for that day you were sent to cut the grass which was used to feed the horses or other farm animals, or to gather the, like later on, gather the oat and other barley growing on the fields. So you never knew where you will be sent or what you will do, unless the capo was very specific about which girls she wanted and fought for us and kept us together. Our working day started, we were marching out from the camp into the work at 6 o'clock. We had half an hour for rest during the day, and at 5 o'clock we were marching in back to camp. But then the so-called Zellappell, the moment where we were all counted, the whole camp was counted, had to be put into the effect. At 6 o'clock, the SS guards were coming into the camp. They were taken They were given the numbers of the prisoners. It all had to tie up. If one was missing, the whole hell could break out. As I remember very well, one day when that, unfortunately, one of those Greek girls was so ill, she still went with commando out, and she fallen somewhere in the ditch, and she was half dead already. But she didn't march into the camp. Nobody spotted her. The whole camp has been standing for 3 hours or more, and the posses went out to search for that missing person. And in the end, when they found her, they dragged her into the camp, and they set dogs on her. And this is how she died, and that was the day I spat into the face of my God. But I recover later as well, because you had to have something better than what was around you to believe in.
What did help you to survive in Auschwitz? What kind of things helped you?
Now, this is the answer to which nobody has a really good... Now, you actually are asking me what made me survive or what helped me survive. And this answer is the one which actually brings you pain all your next life, this normal life, because you never know why. So the easiest thing is to say, yes, God wanted it, that was supposed to be that way. But there were more human factors in it. The fact that I was not, that I was young, that I was not ravaged by the long term imprisonment in prison. I just was there for 2 weeks and I was well looked after by other people there. That I did not come with any political story behind me, meaning that there was no verdict against me in the political SS bureau. I was just so unimportant that nobody asked me another question ever, because people were taken out and shot or put to gas chambers because of what they have done before they were arrested. Nothing like this ever applied to me. You had to have attitude as well to where you were. I told myself very quickly that I don't want to die there. And this psychical attitude helped you enormously. You were never to feel sorry for yourself. If you started to feel sorry for yourself, you were goner. You were Musulman, as we were calling those who were physically and mentally broken. I may have been very ill, and I have been extremely ill during my stay but my mental state was always as I was when I came to prison. I did not change. Nothing has changed inside me. Everything what was changing was around me. And this is what helped people, I think. My youth, of course, helped me. The fact that we got parcels. Jewish people were not allowed the parcels. And anyway, if the whole families were taken, who was to send them parcels? So the whole question of Jewish people writing letters or sending parcels did not exist, because they had nobody left to care for them outside. And the parcels helped. Because the food which we were given in camp were scientifically so prepared that 3 months on those rations you could survive, but not any longer. And we, Polish girls, after 3 months got our first parcel. Once a month we were allowed to have food sent to us from our homes. They were people who had no homes either, who were taken like whole families, mother, father, kids. So it's not that everybody was that privileged, but for example, myself, I was, and I was getting those parcels.
The extermination that was taking place at Auschwitz, how did you cope with that, living alongside that day by day?
Now, when we came, of course we knew nothing. I knew nothing. I didn't know about the extermination policy, or we knew that the ghettos were burning and the people were killed in ghetto. But there was a saying in Warsaw that tylko świnie siedzą w kinie, a Polacy w Oświęcimie, meaning that only pigs are sitting in the cinemas those days, and the real Poles are sitting in Auschwitz. They are in prison in Auschwitz. So that much I knew about Auschwitz, but I didn't know anything else. So to see it with my own eyes was really a terrible shock. And I can tell you one thing, that there is a point in your life where your heart is no heart anymore, it's a piece of ice. I had the feeling that my heart was hard, and not because I didn't have feeling for my fellow prisoners, no, that I always had. But there was this hand, this iced hand, which had hold my heart like this, and my heart were not alive anymore. It was this sheer terror of it made my part of my body almost turn into the ice. When we came to camp next day, we could not understand then yet. It was not only that the air was sort of strange, but there was this sickening smell hanging over the camp, over our barracks. What we learn very soon from the other who has been there before us, that was crematoria, actually. Crematoria burning those bodies. The fact is that there was every day there was a transport to crematorium. For example, the beginning of 43, which I arrived, May, June, July, the Jewish communities from Upper Silesia, from Będzin, Sosnowiec, were taken to the camp, and they were selected at the ramp. Some of them, young always, came to the camp with the numbers, but the rest went to the gas chambers. So every day there was somebody at the ramp and some bodies were burning. There were days where that was put into absolute overload. Like, for example, when they decided to burn Theresienstadt camp, when they decided to burn Cygojne camp, Gypsy camp, and in the May in 44, when the Jewish population of Hungary arrived, they were burning 3,000 bodies a day. Then, of course, it was Blocksperre. We could not go, we could not move, but we were actually choking in that smoke. You have to remember that Birkenau itself was built on so-called bedlands, lower lands. It was near the river Sowa, and never ever anything wanted to grow there in abundance, but that was low and wet and horrible. So the air there was never fantastic, but given the addition of that smoke, which was belting out of those five chimneys day after day, night after day, made really breathing in that camp unpleasant, if you were still breathing, mind you.